grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This greeting, which I often use as I begin to preach, is taken from the opening of the letter to the Ephesians, which we read today. The letter goes on, "Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." These first verses of Ephesians are packed with the blessings we have in Christ. God chose us. God adopted us. We have redemption and forgiveness. God has lavished upon us the riches of grace. We have an inheritance in Christ. In all of these things, our lives have been forever changed, forever enriched by living our lives in Christ. Throughout his writings, Paul comes back again and again to the idea that in baptism, our lives are given up and we live from that day forward in Christ. Baptism offers us the opportunity to live our lives not for ourselves, but for and with something larger. The very person of Christ and the body of Christ, the community to which we belong. What does it mean for us to live in Christ? Much of the New Testament explores just that question. This morning, I want to look more closely at just two of the images Paul sets out here at the beginning of Ephesians: redemption and belonging to Christ, and adoption and inheritance. In Christ, Paul says, we have redemption, forgiveness, and grace. We have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. The Oxford Dictionary gives two definitions for redeem: to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something, and to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. With his blood, Christ has redeemed us. Christ has compensated for our shortcomings and forgiven our sins so that we might be in full relationship with God. What's more, because he has redeemed us, we now belong to Christ. We are his. Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury and one of my favorite theologians, writes, "The paradox about our Christian freedom is that we are free because we are now owned by Jesus." Paul is unashamed by this quite provocative language. It is one of the defining things about Christians that they say Jesus is Lord. But we need to remember that in that society, at that time, to say Jesus is Lord was not a vaguely religious declaration of allegiance. Lord, kurios in Greek, is a word that means owner or master in a way that is not at all vague or pious. It represents a claim about ownership that overrides all others. I belong to Jesus. My neighbor belongs to Jesus, and my neighbor's neighbor belongs to Jesus. I do not belong to my neighbor, and no one else belongs to me. I'm not owned by anybody on earth, and neither is anyone else. But I am owned by Jesus Christ in the sense that the pattern of his life is now authoritatively shaping mine. This belonging to Jesus frees me from thinking that the constraints of this or any society are identical with the will of God. Williams goes on to describe what it looks like to be in Christ. The person who is owned by Jesus, owned not as a chattel, not as a thing, but because of the creative force within her of the Spirit of Jesus, which has taken hold of her. The Spirit shapes who she is and what she does. To be redeemed, to be in Christ, means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that we are enlivened by the breath of God, which shapes our lives in the patterns of following Jesus. We are redeemed by Christ and we belong to him. He owns us in a unique way. Jesus is our Lord. But there is another kind of belonging that comes with being in Christ. Ephesians says that God chose us in Christ and destined us for adoption. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. These are images of family, of community, and even of the way that we belong together when we come into the community of Christ. This language of adoption used to make me nervous. I truly think of all people as children of God. And I felt that language of adoption obscured that truth as if some are chosen but not others. But in the Working Preacher podcast this week, Professor Craig Kester spoke beautifully about what it means for us to be adopted by God. Adoption is a way of creating family that involves a great deal of intention and commitment. It doesn't just happen. The language of adoption, Kester said, lifts up the depth of the divine claim on us, the depth of God's desire for us. God wants relationship with us so much that God is willing to move through whatever barriers arise. If you have ever adopted a child or been a close witness to an adoption, you have seen what he means. My first son is adopted. Preparing for the adoption required a home study, months of filling out paperwork, including immigration applications, as well as the usual preparation for a baby. We traveled to Ukraine and then with Evan to Poland in order to bring him home. There's a picture, a photo of me holding Evan, one of the first days that we visited him in the baby house in Ukraine. He is a wide-eyed little peanut, not at all sure about what to make of things. My eyes are mostly closed and my cheek held gently to his head. When my mom first saw the photo, she said, "There's someone whose dream is coming true." It was. And now that my little peanut is turning 20 next week, he is still a dream come true in our family. I remember a day a few months after Evan came home, I was watching him run around the church where I worked, and it dawned on me, as it has probably dawned on every parent before and since me, there is my heart running around outside my body. And that, my friends, is how God feels about us. God has adopted us, made us a part of God's family. Each one of us is a piece of God's heart, animated by the breath of Christ, running around here on earth. And what God wants for us is what any parent wants for their children: fullness of life, flourishing, the chance to be the very best of who we are. And so God promises an inheritance, a gift that looks into the future, the gift of the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, no matter the circumstances of life. The gift of the power of the Spirit, which enables us to face any challenge. The gift of eternal life, knowing we will be with God in Christ forever. In a few minutes, we will watch as three teens in our confirmation affirm their faith in a video from our worship last weekend. And at our second service, we will baptize little Ezekiel Raul Tena. We will be reminded that in baptism, each one of us has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are redeemed so that our lives belong to God. We are welcomed into the family of God's people. In baptism, each one of us has been given new life in Christ. Friends, remember that you live in Christ. Each of your days, happy or sad, each of your thoughts and feelings, each decision you make, you are living in Christ. You are chosen, blessed, and beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.